The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Loki. Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki Season 2 is...
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki Season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by Habs Eyes on the Prize.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Absent Minded. It is me, Patrick Bexell. It is the best Sunday of the year. It's Ronde van Vlaanderen Sunday, and most of you know that I'm a cycling aficionado. So this is one of the best races, and the second best race, or maybe the tied first race, is next year, next week with Paris-Roubaix. It's also one of the best Sundays of the year because I'm joined by my good friend Thomas Roos from Central Scouting. And Thomas, it's good to see you. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for inviting me for this talk. I'm excited.
I'm sure we'll get a few more talks before the draft comes up in June. Or, yeah, it's June or July. Yeah. And today we're talking about one of the prospects that are on the rise in more or less all rankings on the board. And it's David Reinbacher from Kloten in the NLA. And the NLA, for people that don't know, is the National League A in Switzerland. Even if he's Austrian, he plays in Switzerland. First and foremost, Thomas, what can you give us as a general idea about David Reinbacher?
Well, he's a pretty well-rounded defenseman. He has pretty good size, long stick, but his calling card, maybe his main strength, is his composure and his low stress level. He's never in stress. And he has great patience also. This is maybe his best, what I can tell you about him. But all the other things who are mainly strengths and not a lot of weaknesses, all the other things are on a good level, but maybe not on a high-end level. For example, he's pretty good in defending attackers off the rush and also not shy to play the body. I like very much his stick work without the puck. He has decent speed, but not high-end speed. And mobility, agility is also good, but not great. And passing is decent, skills are decent. When he has the puck, yeah, he tends to shoot the puck. And his shots are mainly on the net. And this is a very important quality of a defenseman in modern hockey, to bring the pucks to the net. And he is pretty good in this.
Indeed, he is. And it's one thing that stands out, really, getting those pucks through and on the net for rebounds. And yeah. I think that's one of the goals, at least, that has been that way, in, or points that has been in that way in the playoffs as well, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So I think, what did I notice? What is maybe not so good? Sometimes he watches a little bit too much the puck and not the forwards or the opponents. Sometimes he has to definitely improve. If I talk NHL, his work along the walls and in the corners. But he's not really weak there. But he's okay, and then still room to improve in this aspect. Overall, an interesting prospect who does a lot of things well. There is not really one instrument, one tool who is maybe high end or very, very well. Maybe except his composure.
You mentioned the fact that he's maybe puck watching a little bit, or calm, exudes a calm presence. And I've also seen a little bit of it, and sometimes it always looks like he's uninterested. He takes a position.
That's his patience, that's his personality. Mm-hmm. And it looks sometimes exactly that he's not interested, but this is of course not true. It's just his personality, and of course he cares. But maybe there is a little bit critic in this sentence, and I could agree to this sometimes. If I'm talking about NHL level and about the speed of the game, he needs to improve maybe a little bit his urgency, his aggressiveness, his intensity, and his energy, put his energy level a bit up. This could be, but in most situations, his composure, his patience is an advantage. But in some other actions, it's a disadvantage.
I'm thinking, and you have to tell me here, but we always hear this about the big ice in Europe, and I don't remember, because I think you have different ice sizes in Switzerland as well. Some are playing on NHL rinks and some are playing on Olympic sized rinks.
Yeah.
And maybe that is because when I've seen it, the rink has looked wider, and then you don't want to get caught out of position. And maybe that's why he might look, he's playing it safe, because he is really a defensive first defenseman, right?
He was a defensive first defenseman 110% until this season. In this season, he developed a second dimension in his game. He became a really good two-way defenseman. He added some offense to it. And his offense is also doesn't look spectacular. If he has the puck, he tries to shoot the puck to the net. He doesn't make fancy things. But this second dimension, really, he added to his game. And that's why he did move up in the rankings, I think. For me, before this season, he was a second rounder, and throughout the season he did improve, and now for me he is a second half first rounder. But I know a lot of scouts, or some scouts, who have him 8 to 15.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the fact that Claughton was playing NLB last year and they earned promotion. Obviously, it was a defensive first defenseman because he was 17 at the time, playing in the pro league. But also, did that keep him under wraps a little bit, that people didn't realize what was going on there?
Absolutely. Also, I think both of it. I did watch him this season in the League B, and he definitely was a defense first. He tried to do just high percentage hockey all the time, and then of course. If you judge him and you tell about second division Switzerland, there is a little bit doubt. How good is he? How can he translate this to higher level hockey? These were some question marks, and I can understand this. I also didn't really know how good he was. But he probably was not as good 1 year ago. I really think he did make a huge step this season.
How much has Jeff Tomlinson been part of that development?
It's very
the coach of Claughton for people that don't know about it.
Yes, he was the coach of Claughton and very successful, actually. I don't know. This is always the big question: if a player succeeds or if a player fails, what is the responsibility of the coach? Personally, I think the main responsibility and the main reason is always the player by himself. But Tomlinson is a so-called player's coach. At least on a personal level, he finds the way how to talk with people. Players like him. And I think in modern hockey, you need to be a player's coach. The young generation, they want to have reasons for what they have to do. They want to talk with their coach. Some coaches even are that progressive already that they tell, I learn from the players, not just the players learn from me. And I think he was some sort of such a coach. Not a highly academic science coach with 10 laptops around the corner. Maybe more a pragmatic coach with high level of personal so-called social intelligence. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned, or if we go through this year, that has been a revelation, really, for Rheinbach. The one blip, really, the negative blip, is the World Juniors. He played for a really bad Austrian team, let's be honest about that. But how bad was he in regards to it? Because obviously for North American listeners, this is their time where they see a European prospect.
This is very difficult for him because he really played in a team that was one level below all the others. And in such a situation to shine and to make an impression to the scouts, I think this is very, very tricky, very difficult. I wouldn't give too much on this, but you're right. This is the time when most watch him. On the other hand, in Kloten, there were tons of scouts this season who did come to a lot of games in Kloten and watch him in the Swiss League, in the National League, in our top league. So I don't think this affected too much. And I think you have to be very careful with judging him from the World Juniors.
Why would you go to Kloten? Why wouldn't you go to see Kloten play Davos, which is arguably one of the nicest hockey arenas in the world?
In Davos?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a cathedral.
Yeah.
A cathedral. Yeah. It's really very nice, the architecture, the wood, it fits perfect, the mountain area. This is also a place where, especially in the summer, sometimes you have an under 18 tournament there, and a lot of scouts from overseas even come there and spend some nice days up in Davos. Yeah,
there you have it, guys. It's a pilgrimage for all hockey players. You go to the Cathedral of Hockey in Davos.
Exactly.
Back to Rheinbacher, he's an early birthday. He's in born in October, so an early birthday for the draft. Obviously, he's 6'2". About 190 pounds. One thing that I haven't really gotten an answer for when I watched and I went done a read up on him from a few different sites and spoken to some of my colleagues is how good of a hockey IQ has him.
I think he has a good hockey IQ. As I told before, if I think about this, it's also not that you tell, wow, this is one of this is the best or top five in this draft year in terms of hockey IQ. But I think he has a good hockey IQ. And what I really like and what I know also from off the ice, because he also makes an education off the ice, he is a keen learner and he has a very good ability to learn. And the learning curve, if this is steep, and he showed this also in this season on the ice, this is an indication of a high hockey IQ, or at least of a high ability to learn. And if you have a high ability to learn, this is very, very important in my experience as a scout to try to find out about a prospect.
So there are two things with this. First and foremost, and how do you see his development to have gone from a average defender, if we say it that way, to a very good defender, and the next step with this hockey IQ you mentioned and the keen learning on and off the ice, as you mentioned, how will that impact? What can you see him do next year?
Well, what he will do next year, I don't know. I don't see him in the NHL next year. And I could imagine that whatever franchise will draft him, that they might leave him to develop maybe one more year in Kloten. But maybe they also tell, come over, you have to adapt to the North American style. I actually don't know. I just, if you ask me what will be next year, I don't think he will play right away in the NHL.
Do you see his progress continuing this trajectory, or do you see it stagnating a little bit, or do you see the potential that he can go even further, take another big step forward as he has done this year?
Yeah, that's difficult to predict. If the past 12 months are an indication, he has a very steep learning curve. Even if I look back to the last 24 months, he has a very steep learning curve, but it's not common that this goes on always linear like this. Sometimes you have a stagnation. I could imagine, because he really was such an important defenseman, he was most of the time he already the best defenseman in Kloten this season, that I wouldn't be surprised if he wouldn't make huge steps next season. He has to consolidate this high level what he played this season, make some small steps in small areas, what I did mention maybe, and then everybody can be happy. I don't see it can go on like this always. He would be a Norris Trophy winner in 3 years.
We know he signed an extension with Kloten in 2022. I have no idea if that is a 1 year extension, if it's a 2 year extension, because that brings forward the other thing that you touched on, where he will play next year. Yeah. Because if it's an extension, he can either go to the AHL or the NHL, because he's going to be drafted in the first round most likely, or stay in Kloten. But it leaves out the possibility maybe to move him to another league, because the NLA has not really been a development league.
Yeah.
Auston Matthews was more or less finished when he was playing there.
True. But that's true. He will, if he doesn't play in North America, he will play in Kloten. He has an escape clause for North America.
Yeah.
And but if the franchise would think his best development would be in the Swedish league or Finnish league, mm-hmm. for example, I don't think this is going to happen.
Yeah. You also have, or Kloten has a new coach. It's Gary Fleming. That might also solidify his position in Kloten when drafted, because there is a North American coach, English will be spoken, etc., etc. And a little bit like we saw with last year, with Slavkovsky living alone already, having matured in that regard, it raises the potential of a player probably in teams, when teams look at it, because they are more mature, they have learned to take care of themselves. And you mentioned also the off-ice schooling or scholarship learning.
Definitely, yes. I also think this is can be a small advantage because of the English language. I don't know this coach, to be honest. I can't tell this will be good for Rheinbacher or not good for Rheinbacher. But yeah, let's hope for the good, and that he is a Canadian guy or North American guy. Definitely is not the disadvantage in terms of language, in terms of transmitting the culture and whatever he will expect when he moves overseas.
And also we have to mention this, the NLA is maybe the most big league that is more close to the NHL or North American style of hockey in Europe, because the Finnish league and Swedish league are much more structured in ways and have their own way of playing hockey.
That's true. The Swiss league is really different to KHL and to Scandinavian league, yeah. Finnish and Swedish league. It's up and down. It's very high speed. It's a fire wagon hockey. It's highly entertaining, mm-hmm. but not structured at all. It's it's entertaining.
Yeah,
and run and gun hockey, I call it. More or less.
And the positive thing is also another thing that is positive with the NLA and Switzerland in general is that the teams are very close. You will sleep in your own bed more or less every night.
Yes.
Which gives you a chance to build up maybe more muscles throughout the season, and more strength and work. You actually practice quite hard during the season as well in order to develop and be ready for the playoffs. I have a couple of questions here to finish it off. First and foremost, how big of an impact will his performance in the World Championships be in regards to the draft?
I think most of the scouts have a clear opinion about him. And there is again, this little bit disadvantage that this Austrian team might be maybe not so competitive if they play versus the best best countries, and this might be very difficult for him to shine. On the other hand, I think it's better than the under 20 World Championship, and of course they will watch, they will follow him, and of course it's important how he competes and how he performs, definitely. But I think 90% of the opinion is already made.
Indeed. I have a question, two more questions, and now you will have to, or a couple more, it's three actually. You will have to answer them as you see fit. Do you think David Reinbacher will go top 10?
No.
No?
I think I told you in my books he's second half first rounder, and I know a lot of other some scouts who have him between 9 and 15. So I was a little bit hesitating with that. I think he will go 12, 13, something like this. I guess, but of course I don't know. This is
No. No one knows until it happens.
I think I also did think about, in my opinion, whether you draft number 9 or number 45, historically seen, it's not a big difference. So that's why I don't think that I'm far away from most scouts who have him a little bit higher than me, because I think the big difference is whether you draft in the top 5, top 6 usually, and after that is a gap. I don't think that a late first round draft pick is nearly as valuable as a top 5 draft pick. And I think a second round draft pick is nearly as valuable as a second half first round. That's why, and this is exactly the range where I expect that I think to know about other scouts. They have him between 9 and 35 somewhere.
Will he be the first defender going in the draft, or will that be someone else? It is a very forward-heavy draft.
The longer it takes, I could imagine he can be the first. I probably would take the Russian first.
All right.
Uguliayev. I think the Russians are underrated now because of the Russian factor. This might then hinder. I think he can go first, but it's a forwards draft. This doesn't mean he will go top 5 or so.
You mentioned the Russian Yakolev, right? But also there is a Swedish defender that might not be a defender. It's Axel Sandin Pelikka. If you choose between Pelikka, which has a very high ceiling, but maybe a little bit lower roof or floor.
I will take
Reinbacher.
I will take him before Reinbacher.
You will take Sandin Pelikka before Reinbacher?
Yes, because I think in the first round, you have to go all in. You have to try to find a world-class high-end player and not a solid, clear NHL player. It's not enough. This is the target. And in the second round or second half of first round, and I definitely also would go always for the best player available and not for positioning in the beginning, in the maybe top 20, because every pick you have is an asset also for trades and so.
I asked you this before, so you're prepared for this question at least. Montreal has a very well stacked defensive line right now, especially with young ones. Gouli, Struble, Shekai. Yeah, we can mention them. We got Hudson and Engström, not even in the team. Yeah. We got Mayu as well. Would you take a defender? Would you take Reinbacher as the GM for Montreal? Because now you're a GM for Montreal in about a minute or two.
No. I think Montreal... I told you I would take best player available.
And, yeah.
And Montreal is on the clock and...
Yeah, but we have two clocks. We have the Florida pick as well, which is going to be somewhere around 15 to 20.
Yeah, for 15 to 20, I would think this is realistically. That then there I would consider him. Absolutely. with the first pick, who will be probably top five. Seven, something, top five even.
Yeah.
It's already clear that's top five. Okay.
More or less. You can fall.
I wouldn't take him. I would go for forward.
Thank you, Thomas. It's always fantastic to have you on. You're a wealth of knowledge, and we really, really appreciate it. You can find Thomas as well on Twitter at Thomas Rost with a TH and a double O.
That's true, yes.
So I'll be sure to link it in the profile as well. We're super happy to be on with the podcast again after a little bit of a hiatus when we moved to a new site. Thomas, you're also commentating NHL hockey for the Swiss broadcast, right?
Yes, there are some NHL games on pay TV, on Swiss pay TV, and there I am the caller commentator, I think North Americans would tell, or co-commentator, yes. Yeah.
So if you manage to get some Swiss TV on your IPTV or whatever broadcasting service you're using, you might hear Thomas there as well. Thank you, Thomas. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. It was a pleasure for me. Thank you very much.